The Interagency National Intellectual Property Coordination Center saw real benefits of cross-agency collaboration when it had to alert the nation about the potential of exploding airbags. Now, the center worked with many of its 21 federal and international partners to get the word out to the public, to car companies, and law enforcement agencies. Federal News Radio's Jason Miller joins us now with details on the progress agencies are making in working together in general. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, Tom and Emily.
So, Jason, let's start with this example at hand. Remind us about the danger of these exploding airbags.
Well, this first came to light back the August-September timeframe, when the Center and the National Highway Transportation Safety Administration tested a series of counterfeit airbags and found out not only they didn't work, but one out of five in two separate tests actually sent a flame and engulfed the dummy driver during the test. So could you imagine driving with your son or your daughter, teach them to drive, they hit the gas instead of the brake, they hit the car in front of them, and next thing you know, the counterfeit airbag that you didn't realize was in your car blows up, and they're engulfed in flame. I mean, that's how serious the situation was. So the National Intellectual Property Coordination Center has been working on this issue since 2010 with other agencies, Customs and Border Protection, NHTSA, and others, to track and try to stop the flow of these counterfeit airbags that pop up in used cars after they were in an accident. Lev Kubiak is the director of the Coordination Center. He says this was the first time the center had a significant life-threatening situation they had to address. He said the center got the word out to the public about the counterfeit airbags in a coordinated way because of one main reason.
It was that physical proximity that developed the professional intimacy that allowed us to handle in a very short amount of time a problem that we had never seen before, and to get some solution out so that we could at least notify the public. We have now subsequently notified law enforcement. We have notified our partners at the center. We have notified the World Customs Organization and Foreign Customs Administration so that they're aware of this activity. And we're working with the DHS Fusion Centers to notify local police as well so that they can have this for accident investigation.
Now, Kubiak has been the director of the Intellectual Property Coordination Center for about 15 months now. He said when he first arrived, getting the center, you know, a better understanding of all those needs of their 21 different partners was actually very difficult, because at those bi-monthly meetings when they all got together, they were too big and too informal, so it was hard to create those personal relationships. So instead, he's been meeting one-on-one with each of the members at their offices to understand how the center could help them more. Now, I caught up with Kubiak yesterday after he gave a speech at the Multi-Sector Leadership and Digital World Conference sponsored by the GW University and the Fed Insider that was in Washington yesterday. Now, Kubiak says the one-on-one meetings helped identify common concerns or ideas that could be implemented more broadly, but they also do something more important.
Anytime you're able to establish in a non-crisis moment, there's an old saying I heard, you never want to meet your fellow soldier in the foxhole for the first time, right? So when you're in a crisis situation, it's always better to have established at least some connectivity or some professional or personal relationship so that you can rely on that and people know that there's honest broker, shared mission, shared activity that kind of helps you get to the issue more quickly.
Now, Kubiak says those personal relationships is a big part of the reason why this well-coordinated approach was able to roll out during the airbag problem.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio Executive Editor Jason Miller. Now, this type of collaboration that you've described seems logical in law enforcement. What about some other agencies that have come together to solve problems in other domains?
Yeah, I think you're right. Coordination among law enforcement officials is something the government has spent a lot of time on over the last decade. I mean, if you look back at the failings during the September 11th attacks, the lack of coordination was a big issue. But the idea of interagency collaboration, while not necessarily new, and it's becoming more than just the right thing to do. I think it's becoming to the fact where people are going, okay, this is the only approach we can really consider to meet our mission goals. Let me give you a couple examples. The development of the HR University by the Chief Human Capital Officers Council in 2010, Catherine Medina is the executive director of the Chico Council. She says there's more than 16,000 registered users, and the training portal has helped to save the government more than $35 million. Now, she points to this example of how the collaboration on HR University actually spilled over into the effort to create a new performance management system called GEAR.
When we were working with the different agencies on GEAR, we did sort of an environmental scan of who had performance management specific training. And it turned out one organization and I'll not name them, had several million dollars worth of performance management training. They had really made a significant investment on performance management. And they were willing to share that with us through HR University, completely free. And we were able to capitalize again on the value of that investment they made. They made that investment because we were engaged with them. They understood what we were trying to do with GEAR. They understood what we were trying to do with HRU because they were in the picture. They were in the communications with us. And they understood that somehow it was their responsibility to hand over that millions of dollars worth of training because that was the way to make sure that the community had the training it needed for performance management.
I think another good example that really stands out is the work that the Departments of Veterans Affairs and Housing and Urban Development are working on to combat veterans' homelessness. A recent report just earlier this week that came out from HUD and VA found veterans' homelessness dropped by 18% over the last 2 years, and chronic homelessness across all citizens dropped actually 7% in 2012. Lisa Danzig is HUD's Chief Performance Officer and Director of the Office of Strategic Planning and Management. She says HUD and VA have worked together in a number of areas, but none more important than data sharing.
One of the actually major steps forward we made in the last year is create a data sharing agreement between the VA and HUD. Everybody has their own way of collecting these systems. Everyone has their own data sets. So it made it very hard to talk collectively about what was happening. And I think it took us almost a year to get through the legal and technical dimensions of how to match very private information, you're carrying social security numbers of veterans, and ensuring on a regular basis we're getting a report to reflect how many veterans and who we're serving, who's exiting the program, and what's happening. So now that we have that established, I think there's a wealth of information that we're aligned on in terms of who we're serving and how we're going to move forward with that information.
Now, VA and HUD also meet regularly, and through their HUDstat process, which is one of the data-driven processes that the agencies use, they bring together the biggest cities with the biggest, highest number of veteran homelessness problems, L.A., New York, Las Vegas, and together they discuss best practices and progress, and that's part of how the collaboration happens and kind of moves the ball forward on their goals.
So, Jason, tell us what some of those best practices are.
I think there's several that have kind of emerged over the years, you know, whether it's VA or HUD or Chico Council, that really were helping them reach their goals. I think the one that stood out from yesterday's panel discussions is the relationship building among all partners, and part of that is working closely with each other regularly. Chris Inglis is the Deputy Director of the National Security Agency. He says proximity, the idea of working together, working close with somebody, was one of the three main tenets that he sees around collaboration. The other includes sharing, you know, basically having a common problem. And then there's the leadership piece. I mean, listen, we heard from the National Intellectual Property Coordination Center's Kubiak talk about the benefits of that relationship building, that personal and professional intimacy he talks about to deal with the exploding airbag issue earlier this year. Now, again, the Chico Council's Medina says leadership is the other piece to this successful collaboration.
The leadership is going to make sure that everything stays on track. No matter how many people you have on your group, no matter how many different perspectives, no matter how tight your timeline, if you don't have that leadership and you've focused on being so collaborative that there are 25 people in the room but nobody's driving to that result, you're going to have a problem.
Now, Medina says collaboration, you can't sabotage the results you're needed because of collaboration. And that is why leadership plays such a big role in having the right people there and having there consistently to take part in the effort. She describes a time with the Chico Council where she says, listen, we're going to begin this project. I need you here. I need you at every meeting. And if you can't make the meeting, don't send a surrogate. Don't send somebody else to take your place, because too often the new people, whether it's by on purpose or by accident or with all good intentions, they tend to gum up the works. And what they need to do is move the ball forward, come to an agreement, continue along. Finally, she says agencies should look for best practices. There's always innovations out there. Take advantage of them. Don't feel like you have to do it all on your own. And collaboration, more broadly, should not just be thought of as a tool, but really a mindset of how you do things. So as you can see, agencies are really viewing collaboration with, if you will, a renewed sense of purpose. And I think especially what we heard time and again yesterday at this conference was with expected budget cuts and belt tightening that in 2013 and beyond, they're really looking at collaboration as one of the few ways to get new things done.
That's Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller. Jason, thanks for that report.